wanted to say, first of all, we thank God for his blessing that has made it possible through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for us to be able to assemble here on the first day of another week and to meet you and to try to do my best to edify the church as we try to talk to you from time to time and to get to meet that brother and sister Warnock and family again and others of you that I have not known. Brother Warnock met me down at the airport last night, and Brother Smith was with him, and just learned to love him, enjoy him, and I see he's a great singer just like Brother Weldon. You know, Brother Weldon preach and sing. And so we are happy to be around him again. And Brother Willis, isn't that right? I think he was doing the full-time preaching here at the time some couple of years ago when the brethren invited me to come and be in this meeting at this time. And we certainly appreciate him for inviting us to come. I don't know him that well, but I know his sister. I know his sister and brother-in-law, and they have been very, very good to me and my family over the years, Brother Bill Stover, and we have a real close relationship with one another. I tell you, I don't hardly know anyone who have done more for me during the trials and tribulations of my life than Brother and Sister Stover. And I love them, and if they don't love me, they got me fooled real good, and I like how they fooled me. I know that y'all, I don't know what time y'all usually get out, and I don't preliminary too much, but sometimes have to take time out and prelim just a little. But we want all of you that are visiting here to know that you have the privilege to examine the things that we teach and what we preach. And if you want to ask the question, you may do that. You can ask it, stand up and ask it orally, or you can drop a line on something and tell us you'd like to talk with us and ask it. You do it to your comfort. Now, I may not have the answer to your question. I wished I had the answer to all things, but I just don't have. And I don't mind admitting that I don't. I wished I could say I know exactly what it is, but I just don't know. But what I do know and what little I know, I'll be glad to share it with you. Brother Warnock made mention, he and I worked together in meetings before up in Akron, Ohio. And we enjoyed ourselves there, and I still say he can get more people together than any other preacher I've ever been around. I remember one night it was just raining just before service, just pouring, and the people still came. And I went back and I tell the brother that way, I said, if you want to have a good meeting, you go where Brother Weldon is, you'll get to have one in your life. So we appreciate being here, and we ask your prayers for the family and for the congregation back there. We've only been there for just about eight months now, something like that. But we went there and they had 19 members, and we have baptized 14 since we've been there. And there have been a number who came back and placed membership there, and some came out of the liberal congregation and placed membership there. And so we're getting along real good. And we ask your prayers. And I want to say, Brother Warnock, I appreciate it because he helped me raise support to get out of there. It looked like I wasn't going to never get out of there. Brother Warnock hung in there with me and knew some brethren and called them and influenced them. And they are helping, and we do appreciate it. We're going to talk to you now this morning from the subject that we have here on the board. And I tell you, I'm not hearing good, but you're the one that's supposed to be doing hearing anyway. And coming off of the plane last night, we was up some 39,000 feet there, and when I came down, my ears didn't open up, and there they is, they won't stay open. We're going to talk to you about walking with God. Walking with God. In the book of Genesis, the fifth chapter, we find that the Bible tells us that Enoch walked with God. Now, this is something that I consider to be very beautiful. So Enoch lived 6 and 5 years and begotten Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begotten sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch walked with God. Now, this is a great thing. This is a great saying, that this man was so obedient. After he was about 65 years old, at the time that he fathered Methuselah, after that it said that he walked with God. We know about his son Methuselah living longer than anybody else ever lived, 969 years. And he died. But Enoch is who we're talking about. This man had the kind of relationship and the kind of faith in God, the exact and perfect obedience that the Bible said that he walked with God. Amos said one time, how can two walk together somewhere? Read up and down the book of Amos. Except they first agree. And I have noticed, Brother Wilmer, in this life, when mankind cannot come close enough together on ideas, that after a while somebody will falter. They will go one way or the other. I know then for Amos to walk with God that he had to walk like God directed mankind to walk at that time. And you know that can be, that beautiful thing can be said about man today if we become obedient to what he says. Although it will not be written on the pages of inspiration, but we can look out on one another when we see one that is fulfilling the thing that God has ordained him to do, and said, Brother Smith walks with God. You know, I'll tell you one thing about walking with God. You usually won't have too big crowd. You know, if you got some bad coins and billions, you usually won't get your feet stepped on too much. But it's a great thing to be able to walk with God, because that means someday that we're going to be able to rise up and be like Enoch was, that we're going to live. I know the Bible said that Enoch was taken him because he was not. That is, Enoch just didn't lay down. Enoch didn't just lay down and die like perhaps those of us will, or many of us, or some of us, or others. I'm not saying that he will not experience some kind of death. I read in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, about all these groups of faith. And it includes Enoch, and said, I think in verse 13, said, these all died in faith. There was some kind of change, a reaction with him, but not one that was normal. Therefore, whatever happened between God and Enoch was a unique situation. And so then the thing that is important is that he walked with God. I ask of us today, in all categories of Christ Jesus, my Lord, and what he commanded us, to let it be said that we walk that way. And I'll guarantee you that you will never regret it. Then we come down a little bit farther, and we find another one that is said that Noah, he walked with God. Noah was a man, my friend, when the world had became very evil. I don't know whether it had become any worse than it is in foreign body then. I don't know how things are up here, but I'll tell you, South Florida is a wicked place. No, therefore, we're dealing with the people of God. The Bible says that he was a preacher of righteousness. Something began to occur. It said that the sons of God looked upon the daughters of men and seen that they were fair. And they began to take wives of them of all whom they chose. And this brought about all men of renown. And that thing displeased God, and said that he repented, that he made man. Therefore, he declared that he would destroy both man and beast. One thing I learned, brethren, that when God don't have no need for man, he doesn't have any need for anything. And therefore, ladies and gentlemen, he was going to destroy everything. But this man, Noah, found grace in his sight. In the ninth verse of the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis, the verse tells us that Noah walked with God. And now, how can we understand Noah walking with God? When we began to read Hebrews 11, we find that he did it by faith. And the thing that God told him to do, which we'll be talking more and more about, as the week progresses, no doubt we'll be back on Noah two or three times. And so this is a good time to get you to thinking about it. This man here was willing and therefore to be obedient to God. You know, I read in that chapter when the ark was described, I believe that he told him to put a window above, and he told him to make it 18 cubits and to put it above. Now, 18 cubits, I understand, is down for about, one cubit, brother, and one cubit is about 18 inches. And therefore, that wasn't too big, brother, was not. And he told him to put that thing up in the top of that. And I don't know about your wives, but I know about my wives, and I've been around a few other women that I know about. Well, what did you think about that thing? And I look, though, and that week I got to say, I don't have no kind of peep crack. I can't see what the Joneses are doing. It wasn't that thing, wasn't that long. It was a small window, and where it was, it was where she couldn't peek out and see what was going on. And I know she wasn't too happy about that, if the nature of women run a lot, and usually it does. I want you to see the reason why they said this man walked with God. Because the most of us would have changed, and we'd have made that window larger, or we'd have cut a little peek hole on the side. But if you notice, when you read the whole thing about Noah back there, he had to send the ravens out, the doves and whatever, to tell him when the dry land came, finally one came back with a twig. Noah couldn't peek out there himself. Well, you said, Brother Nash, Noah was just he was just kind of a weak man. No, Noah was a man who walked with God. That's what Noah was. Noah can't stand out like God ordained it. And you know the difference today when mankind want to know what makes you think, or what makes you people think, that it's not anybody going to be saved other than people who are members of the Church of Christ and say you're all married. And I'll tell them I'm even married than that. All of us are not going to make it unless a lot of us straighten up and do a lot better than what we are doing. The old saying used to go, unless we straighten up and fly right. You know, heaven is going to be happy if none of us don't get that. You know, I think sometimes people think, well, I won't go to church today because I don't like what they're doing down there. And they think it's going to make heaven unhappy. The God, heaven is going to be all right. Whether Lord Nash make it up there, whether anybody in here make it up there, heaven is going to be a great place whether we make it or not. You ever read about Jonah getting mad and going out of the vine and going open? You see, everything went all right without him. You don't have to have any certain amount of people and whatever for it to be happening. But Noah, what do we find? We find that Noah walked with God. And then we come behind that and we find out that Abraham walked before God. I want you to notice a little different here in Genesis 18. I mean 17. Brother, what that would you... turn with me to Genesis 17 and verse 1. And we want to see a little bit different about Abraham here. Now you notice up here, these brethren walked with God. And here, I believe that we're going to say that Abraham walked before God.
And when Abram was 90 years old.
And when Abram was 90 years old.
And 9.
And 9.
The Lord appeared to
him. The Lord appeared unto Abraham.
And said to him.
And said to him.
I am the Almighty God.
All right, come on.
Walk before me.
God ordained this man.
And be thou perfect.
God ordained him to walk before me. You know Abraham? Therefore, ladies and gentlemen, was one at 75 years old. God called upon him to get out of his father's house and get out from around his kinfolk. You know, that must have been really something. Isn't that right? All of these years, he had lived down there. 75 years. This is in Genesis 12. You want to read? And you know one thing?
God told them, get out from among the kinfolk. Sometimes the reason why people never obey the gospel and become to be children of God is because of their kinfolk's hang up. And therefore, or some other traditional thing. And I decided to fall on you. And God told Abraham to get out of there. And you know, I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, something about this particular thing that is very important is that because God knew the pressures that Abraham no doubt would encounter if he didn't get out of his father's house. Sometimes people, when you begin to talk to them about the Church of Christ and tell them that the church that they're a member of is not members of, not in the Bible, and therefore that they are not Christian, and then they go talking about how long that they have been going that way. It's a mighty few people in here have been going over 75 years. But I want you to know that Abraham was 75 years old when God told him to get up and to get out of that place. And this is the reason why the Bible says that Abraham walked before God and God gave him a command. I want you to see something. Abraham, folks, my friend, his father was a worshiper of idol gods. Therefore, the reason why I can see in this teaching that God wanted Abraham to get out of his father's house. Get out from among your kindred so I can bless you. And I'm going to bless them that bless you, and I'm going to curse them that curse you. You know why? Because Abraham, my friend, could have been influenced by his father's and his environment. But I want you to know that Abraham, served idol God. In Joshua, the 24th chapter, and I think the verses 2, the Bible tells us that therefore that Abraham's father was an idol God worshiper. This is the reason why it's taken me so long to get it together. And why he would say, get out of your father's house. Do you have that, brother? Let's see what he said in verse 2. I want to show you what the trouble is, if I possibly can here. And I want you to understand then, this is the reason why they say that Abraham, what? Before God. Why did he walk before God? It's because God ordained it. And Abraham carried it out. I want you to see this thing. What did he say here in verse 2 of the 24th chapter of the book of Joshua? What did he say?
And Joshua said unto all
and
the
people. And Joshua said unto all the people.
Thus saith the Lord God of Israel.
The Lord God of Israel.
Your father's
your
well.
Father, look here. This is where the trouble is. When you begin to talk about people's daddy, he said, your father's done what?
On the other side of the flood.
That mean back there before Noah built this window here that I was telling you about. He said he lived and went back here on the other side of the flood. All right, come on. Watch what he said now.
All right, even Terah.
Even Terah.
The father of Abraham.
Did what?
And the father of nations.
And the father of maker.
And they served
and
another
they
God.
Served God. That was the trouble. This is why God wanted Abraham to get out of there. This is the reason why that sometimes for you to become to be a child of God, for you to understand what the truth is, that you're going to have to get out of your father's house. You're going to have to get out from among your kindred. This is one of the things we find out in the second chapter of the book of Luke when Jesus, therefore, were there left in the temple when Joseph and Mary had been up there to Jerusalem, therefore to the feast and to the thing that was carried on at that time. And you know what happened? After they had gone about a day or two's journey, they missed Christ. And you know when they first began to look for him? They started looking among the kinfolks. Now, I don't know what makes that. It's good to have kinfolks that are Christians. There's nothing wrong with that. But that doesn't necessarily mean because Uncle Joe or Uncle Dow or Cousin Sue was a member of a Baptist church that that means what? Abraham's father worshiped something for my what? And for him to walk before God means that he had to get out from there at 75 years. But I've been going this way so long, Brother Matt. That's Abraham been going that way so long. I hope I can get where Abraham left. Trying and struggling, praying God all the time, if he will, to let me get it that far. If there are too many of us in here, it'll get that far. But Abraham left. And so they looked for Jesus among his children. You know he wasn't there? When they found him, he was in the temple. Down there talking with lawyers. Those that knew the law and questioning them. And if this is when he told his mother that it was time for him to go about his father's business. I'm trying to tell you that if you're going to do well in religion and going to walk before God, or walk with God as these two, and as dear Abraham, you're going to have to make some sacrifice. You're going to have to knock self out. a child of God and walk with him. Yes, my friend, Abraham's father didn't know how to worship. But Abraham had to get out of that influence, the influence of that. Get out of his house. I don't think he just necessarily talked about get out of the door, out from under the roof in particular, but get out from the influence of what he was being influenced by. And you know the Bible tells us that Abraham believed God that it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Oh, I know that a lot of us as members of the church, we're not too strong ourselves. I'll tell you what, I'm having to tell me. I said, I missed you, Lord, this morning. Brother, why wasn't you in service? Or sister, why wasn't you? Well, I'll tell you what, I was just getting ready, almost ready to go out the door. And then here come in Uncle Tom. Hadn't seen Uncle Tom. I hadn't seen him in a long time, Brother Ned. And I just said, well, Lord have mercy, I sure hate you. So they just stay home there with him. Well, you know what I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you shouldn't do it. Can't worship with you. Can't walk with God, walk before him. Can't walk there with him. So he don't like the church of God, so he won't go. Well, leave it home. So, well, I don't trust him. He might be. Well, now, if you don't trust him, you think he might steal something, put him out. You see, you claim that the reason why you stayed in the friend's place because you hadn't seen him so long and you loved him so well, and then you don't trust him enough to leave him in the house. Isn't that something? All right, now. So then, ladies and gentlemen, when we as children of God, when we walk like God wants us to walk and carry out like the Lord wants us to carry out and walk by the word of God, as God has made provision for you and me, we won't let little things like that come up and stop us. Not at the first minute or at the last minute. And so Abraham, these men here, and I just put them up here for an example of some strong, strong men. And then we must learn to walk in the Spirit. You know the Bible teaches us in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, he said, if we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, the reason why so many Christians go outside is because we fail to walk in the Spirit. And so then, we start trying to fulfill the lust of the flesh. But let me tell you something. Flesh, our flesh is something that has to be denied. I don't care who you are. We have to deny, because if your flesh don't never, it doesn't never really become to be totally satisfied. Sister Nancy, the other day, she was telling me, she said, well, honey, she said, I don't know what I'm going to do. She said, my hair is coming out so bad, and she's just showing me how it was coming out, and she said, just getting short all the time. And I said, yeah. I said, but you know, when it was long, you cut it, you didn't. You don't never know when to be sad, unless the flesh won't let you do it, isn't that right? I always put my mind to that, but the reason why that men and women get implicated in adultery and in fornication and in lying and in stealing and in doing all that is because of the lust of the flesh. The reason why so many unborn babies are killed today, murdered, is because of the lust of the flesh. Y'all look at me now. I'm looking at y'all too. If we don't do something here, this X number of dollars, $40,000, whatever we've been making every year, we're not going to be able to make it. Because this child is going to stand in the way. This fetus is going to keep us from living like we already living. Oh, I'm going to lose my shape. Amen, Benches. See, Brother Smith told me, I think he's one of the elders here, to preach like I preach. And that's where I preach. I preach like I preach. I like that. I like women tell me that because I know I got one on my side. I know this now. I know then that whenever the lust of the flesh get the raging, you and I cannot do what God wants us to do. We will not walk before. We will not. do both of them. Paul said it. In Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it would weak, God sent forth his Son, made in the likeness of sin for flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. You know, we can do it. Somebody said, well, doesn't that, we can do it. We can condemn sin in the flesh. We can keep our flesh from our ruler, from ruining us. But we got to be able to walk before God. We got to be able to have some stability like Noah had and carry out things like God. Then we'll be able to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Did you not know to walk with the Lord and to walk with God and to do what Christ wants mean that we have to walk in love? I think there's a song we used to sing. Some of you songs said, no, it wasn't one of them. Then we used to sing something about walk in peace, walk in love. I told the preacher the other day, he and I were fishing. As I've been in the church all these years, bless my heart, I haven't learned a song yet. I didn't know a little piece of this, but a little piece of that, but Brother Slumber sung that a while ago, and I'm going to have him sing that again before I leave that second song that he was singing. I forgot the name of it, but it's, I'd never heard it before. It was pretty. But I want you to understand here that what we're doing, that you and I is going to have to learn to love and to walk in love. Brother Boyd, if you'll open your Bible with me again, we're going to touch up on some more scriptures here. And this will be over in Luke, seventh chapter. And I guess we'll start reading up there about verse, 38, somewhere along there. We'll get together when we get there. Now watch this. Now talk about walking in love. In the book of Ephesians 4, now the Bible tells us this. Paul said to the church there, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the vocation, wherewith you are called with all lowliness and meekness, forbearing one another in love. How? Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I'm one that believes in that love has a lot to do in the basic thing for forgiveness. I think that love is why that we can forgive some people and why the lack of it is why we can't forgive others. When we love like God wants us to love, we can say that we walk like God wants us to walk. Therefore, then we can forgive our sisters and brothers for what they do. Now, you say, Brother Nash, I just can't. I'll tell you what. You let it be your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife, somebody you really love, and you see you forget it. And you try to keep everybody from knowing it. Isn't that right?
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, I have some stepsons, and I have some sons. And I love them all. Those sons of mine are always doing something that upsets me, but I don't go around and blow off about it, you know. I get lost and son, but you know you ought not to do that. You're making your daddy gray-headed, and you just have killing me. You're sitting me through. I do all kind of pleading with them, you know. That's why. And I'm telling you that when you begin to love each other, like God wants you to love one another, you'll be able to forgive. But as long as you don't lack them anyway, I'll let you say no now. You just want to end the thing you do. You know, I was in the country, and I told Brother Smith, I'm just a country preacher now. And I was in the country, you know, used to ride the little horses, you see him going along, just doing his ears this way, and he just looking for something to jump for. He want to jump, I want to get off and get you off of him, really. And one of these is something he see every day. He'll see it jump from across the river again. He doesn't want to dump you, and he will. You just get careless, and you'll be on the ground. And that's where some Christians are. When they don't love one another like y'all do, they just be watching the preacher. They be watching the devil. They be watching the... They just want you to skin them just a little bit, a little speak of blood jump out. I thought he said he was hell. But if you really love them like you ought to, that wouldn't be the case. If you love the minister and you all love him, love that family like you all love, that will never be the problem. So Jesus went in this place and man named was Simons. He went to Simons' house. And when he was in there, this woman came to him, and she was crying, and she was very, very sorry about her sins. And she anointed the master's feet with washed him with her tears and dried him with the hair of her head. And asked all of the disciples about, and they were complaining about and said, if you'd have knew what manner of persons you were, you wouldn't have led a church. And Jesus said, I'm going to teach that boy. Well, he didn't say boy. But he said, I want to tell you something. He said, you know, since I've been in your place here, you haven't washed my feet. But this woman hadn't ceased to wash my feet with the tears and dry them with her hair. My head, you have not anointed, but that this woman, that she has anointed my feet here. You haven't done none of these things. Those that were complaining hadn't done with that woman had given up her flesh in life. Christ had brought something to her life that all of us need that doesn't have.
Amen.
And in verse 47, I think that's about what time happened. Let's see what he's saying in verse 47. Watch what he says.
Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many, are forgiven.
All right. I'm forgiven. Why?
For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth.
When people don't forgive you but a little, they didn't love you but a little. You need to read the whole story there. And you see, this is what he's talking about. He said that, you know, it was a story of a bird man. He said that there were two men, had two devils. One of them was, 500 pence, and the other one was 100 pence or something like that. And he asked Simon, he said, now, which one of these men did he forgive the most? He said, I'm sure the one that owed him the most. That's what it amounted to. Then he went on down to teach a lesson here. That if we love one another, like we all love one another, if we love one another much, we can forgive much. But if we got that attitude and said, just a drop of your grease, just a drop of your gravy go all over my plate, it ain't gonna hardly be no forgiving. You know, one drop of grease spread, but for one drop to go all over the whole plate, that's pretty wide spread, pretty thin.
Come on.
We'll read that verse one more time, brother Warner. I want to make sure, I want to let it soak. I'm just letting it soak now. It's soak. And you think about it. If it's somebody that you don't love, whether they're Christian or whether they're non-Christian, I want you to think about it. Is it that they've done that much to you? Had it been that much different from you? Or is it that you just don't love them like you ought to? You know, sometimes people just see people in envy. I think this may run more among ladies than it does among men, but run among both sex. You know, sometimes I see women, they be around and some little lady come through and got stuff fixed up good and up on a little hill like this and say, So she thinks she's something. You know, when I was a boy, young man, I go into school when I was about 13, 14 years old, I used to tell that, oh, some of the other girls talk. Oh, so-and-so, she thinks so-and-so's cute. She sure thinks she's cute. And I got to look at her, sure enough, she was cute. She was cute. Found out how to pick them. That's right. Now let's read that. I want you to hear this again. Come up to verse 40 and let's ease into that 41. Well, now 37 was it? Come up to 30. What's up? 30, 46 is before. Whatever. 46 is before 47. That's where it is. Let's see what it says. All right. What does it say?
My head with oil. Thou didst not anoint.
You never did anoint my head. But what did it say?
But this woman.
The woman that you condemned. The one that you're talking about. The one you said, if I'd have known what you are, or if I'd have been a prophet, I would have never taken it. That's the woman that has done more for me than you have done. And you know, I remember many, many years ago when I got ready to go out to try to get the first church they ever preached for, looking for a work. I needed $10 for a bus ticket and a little money going to West Texas. Yeah, one of my two brothers in the church there that had any money among the blacks. But they couldn't let me have it, they didn't. I had to go to an old rich, tired school teacher to get that $10. I went out there and got to work. When I went home to get my family, I told him, I said, I've got a job now, I'm going to pay. He said, no, the first thing you're going to do, you're going to take care of your family. And when you get all of that done, then you pay for my dinner. You see, Brad, love is a thing that structures life in obedience with the will of God. And the reason why a lot of times I've been in business meetings and the church and the brothers and some of the brothers come up and say, let's do something for the preacher here. Let's do something for his wife. Let's do something for that. And some brother raised up and said, well, you know, Sister So-and-so, we haven't done anything for her. Sister So-and-so been away all the time. And said, think about it. Said they might do something for the preacher. You don't see how come I'm not a proper preacher, kid. I'm not proper, but I'll tell you one thing. I try my best to stick with the truth. Now, you watch this, what he said. He said, my head, you have no honor. Watch this now.
All right. Wherefore I say unto thee. Her sins
are
many.
That were many.
Are forgiven.
Are forgiven. All right,
she
come
loved
on.
Much.
She loved much. But she loved much. She didn't have that little old tippy-tip high little love. She loved deeply. You know, when we love one another like we ought to, as soon as we hear something going wrong with somebody that we love, our body's changed. Our countenance changed. The heart stroke changes. Sometimes you don't care about you hear about them getting shot down unless you the folks show weak. You know, your blood pressure don't rise. But you let it be somebody that you really love, and your blood pressure immediately go up. And you feel a little hard up here, just a chook it, chook it. Because it's love, Daddy. When it ain't nothing at it, it doesn't change the beat, brother. Watch what he said.
All right, but to whom little is forgiven.
But whom for little is forgiven.
The same love is little.
You keep that in mind. When you can't forgive a person you didn't ever like them too much in the first place, if any. And now you've been on that long enough now. Yeah, I know. But I could have preached on this thing here all morning and never got through with it. Because here is where most of the problem lies. And because we don't love like God loved, the Bible tells us in John 3:16, that God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have an everlasting life. Christ said, greater love hath no man than this, than one lay down his life for a friend. And you, my friend, if you do whatsoever I commanded you, I want you to know. When we love God like we ought to, love Christ like we ought to, love the call like we ought to, then that make us give like we should. Reason why some members of the church don't never give as they prosper. Because they don't love. They love the church a little, they give a little. Amen. Walking circumspectively. Ephesians 5:15. Seeing then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the deeds are evil. You know, we have to walk looking around. We have to watch what's going on. You know, some of us live a long time, and we're not watchful, we're not thoughtful, and therefore, the first thing you know, we have fell prey to something. We got to watch how we walk. And to walk, watch. You know, one time Christ was teaching the disciples, he said, be as humble as a lamb, I believe, but as wise as a serpent. Did you know that most of the time when you see an old serpent, he was always in the spot of you and looking at his tongue? Amen. He's trying to get to see what you are in and how close you're going to get before he's back. Well, I don't see nothing against it. I don't see nothing wrong with it. Well, you know the reason why I don't see nothing wrong with it? They haven't been walking with God. They haven't learned that the Bible says for us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, but to be righteously Well, one of the elder's wives told me one time they was having one of these women lives movement, some kind of big concert things up in another state. And she said, I went up there. I said, you went up there? She said, up there, I don't see nothing wrong with it. I said, well, now, what were you going to do when you got there? What did you do? Well, I just want to see how I could assist you wrong. She didn't like me no more. I was staying with her. But I had to tell her she was wrong. Now, you know one thing? If you're not going over there to try to straighten them out, and she certainly wasn't, you know. If you're not, if I go down here today, if I go down here tonight to the Catholic Church, if my motive is not right, I'm wrong and good. When the apostles went into the Jewish synagogues and when opportunity came, as in Acts the 13th chapter, when Paul stood up there, he didn't get up there and say like all of them said, well, I enjoyed myself here, and I worship over, what do you call this church right over here? Woodland, what is it?
Norwood.
Norwood, Woods. Say, I wish we would know who would be glad to have come. And Paul didn't talk that kind of stuff. They told them Jews there in the 13th chapter of the book of Acts in verse 46, if my memory serves me well, after they had turned down the gospel of Paul, he said, seeing that you come to yourself, are worthy of eternal life. Lord, we turn to the Gentiles. If I'm not going to try to correct the matter, if I'm not going to attack the matter, then I don't want all but to be there. And you shouldn't be there either. And particularly, pushing any kind of movement that is contrary to the teaching of the Bible.
That's right. Well, you know, brother, we need to walk and watch what we do. Watch it. There is so much wrong today. In little towns, large towns, and the bigger, the more the people, the worse the conflict. And God has blessed me to be able to preach from one coast to the other coast and all up and down the middle. And I see sin alike everywhere. And it had not been for me being rid of the country and watching life as it really is, they would have had me thinking that a rabbit laid eggs like a lot of you think. I want to tell you, a lamb never laid an egg, you made history. So then we need to walk circumspectly. We need to learn that evil communication corrupt good manners. You and I need to learn that you cannot put fire in your bosom and not be burned. Somebody says, well, it doesn't bother me to go. You keep on going. You just keep on. You know, you can walk in a honky tonk. We can walk in a honky tonk. We walk in there, and you know how bad it smells. Hope it's not the ones I've been in. It smells terrible, sloppy. But you just keep going to that slop. Don't smell as sloppy as you smell.
That's right. Come on.
You say, I don't think it hurt me if I do have me a light.
You know why you think that? You're not redeeming the tithe. Brethren, listen. These men that walk with God, as long as they've done what God said. You ask Noah. If Noah could talk here, he'd be the first preacher to tell you. Somebody said, well, I preach a drink so little. The first fellow ever got drunk. Well, the preacher. Whether he knew it or whether he didn't, I don't know how much he knew about that stuff. But he got out there, he got into it, and it got him in trouble. Isn't that right? Let me tell you. Drinking that stuff will make your head bad. It make you lose what's going on right. It make you do things that you wouldn't do on a net. That's the reason why we have so much confusion in families today. Drinking, living ungodly, and the first thing you know, child abuse is worse today than it ever been in all the world. And a lot of that is because we don't care and respect moral life. Let me tell you something. And whether you appreciate it or not, I'm going to tell you. Let me tell you something. Sitting around, male and female, father, daughter, mother, and son, hanging naked is not right in the sight of God. My nieces sometimes, they don't come to see me very much, but when they come, I tell them, you put on clothes. Now, I'm just ugly. I'm not mean when I do that, but I would just... That's right! That's the way you are! That we have such a mess today! Oh, Doctor, you know what? If you want to be a priest, you have to hear the gospel, you have to believe it, repent of your sin, confess Christ, and be baptized. He said, "Brother, what? This is an honor. This is an honor to walk in the light as he's in the light." In John chapter 5:7, now I think it is. He said, "If we walk in the light, even as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." John 1:7. So then, I know that you've heard this morning. We will bind your mind. Christ died for our sin. And he was buried, and he rose again the third day. I know that the apostle Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed, faith to faith, for it is written that the just should live by faith. Then and one that I believe, he ought to come to repentance." Stop doing the thing that will cause trouble in his life and cause separation between me and his God. And then confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then after that, put it all in water baptism. Father, the remission of your sin. And you know one thing? You rise up a new creature in Christ and be able to walk with God. Walk with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then we can talk like this. But he said, "Yay! I walk through the valley and the shadow of death. I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, thou comfort me." Why could David do that? Because God had made it possible through the great courage of a man like David. I know you make it possible with men like you and me today. If there's one here, why are we together? Say, "We ask you to come."